Okay, welcome back to another Pastor's Roundtable. This week, our fearless leader, Derek Thomas, is out on vacation. Yes, he does take vacations every once and again. Good for him. And so instead, you got the B team. You've got David Lawton, Brian Bolt, Gabe Fleur, and myself. Guys, actually got a question in the inbox, and the question asked about godly influences in our own lives. And so I thought I would just throw that question out to all of you. Somebody who might have been a godly influence on your life, and it can be someone that you knew personally. It could be a godly influence, maybe someone that you've read about that's been a big influence on you and how you do pastoral ministry, or personally as a husband, father, something like that. So let me just throw it out there. David Lawton, would you mind kicking us off?
Absolutely. Thanks, Josh. We are certainly missing Derek, but I know it's a well-deserved rest for him. One of the most influential people in my life I met when I was in fifth grade. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and from my bedroom window, I could see the church that our family attended. Family was very active. However, a lot of good moral teaching about Jesus as an example and the Bible as a moral guide to life, but never heard the clear gospel of our Savior and the need for His salvation and His glorious work on the cross. But in fifth grade, I had a new Sunday school teacher, Don Robb. And Mr. Robb did something very novel, very unusual in this particular church. He brought his Bible and he opened it and he taught from the scriptures. In the first few months, I really resisted the Savior, resisted the teaching. But God, it was our family habit to go. So each Sunday, Sunday by Sunday, was in that Sunday school class in this church that didn't have the full, clear teaching of the scripture. But in the Sunday school class, Don Robb was explaining the greatness of our Savior Jesus and his perfect work. And I came to know the Savior. And Mr. Robb, he and I became fast friends. His example of a genuine love for Christ, a commitment to the Word of God, to try to follow after whatever God teaches in His Word, became an important principle that I observed in his life and learned from his own teaching. So I'm thankful for many, but I'm thankful for this first person who was really the first Christian that I actually met. Don Robb.
Wow, that's so interesting. So how did the two of you foster that relationship? As you watched him open the Bible and talk about it, did he pursue you or did you pursue him?
A little bit of each, Josh. He definitely pursued me as someone in his class, tried to build a relationship. He lived in the neighborhood a couple blocks away. I remember a time or two he would see me kind of, I wasn't in high school, but the high school was real close to our home. And my brother and I would go run around the track. Sometimes he would find me there. And then I had questions for him, questions about who Jesus really is, about unusual things that I was reading in the Bible or things that he had asked that I didn't understand. And really just his love for the Lord and ability to clearly explain the scriptures. Later, God used him in my parents' life as they came to know the redeeming, saving love of Jesus a few years later.
Praise the Lord. That's fantastic.
And he also, one thing in which he pursued me and is that we would get together and have breakfast. This was before it was like a thing, a popular thing that an older man and younger man to study the Word. But we would meet on Saturday mornings several times a month. And he would just open the scriptures. We went through John's gospel together. And when I'm back in Dallas, I still get together with him. It's a great, thankful to the Lord for his example.
That's amazing. Do you mind telling me, like, what is the age difference there? Was he like a father figure?
A little bit younger than my father. Okay. To me, but still probably about 20 years older than I.
Wow.
But he's still alive and doing quite well.
That's fantastic. And I think really, like anybody who's listening to this, the ability to pursue someone, you see someone that seems like they could use some nurturing, especially in the Lord, that you don't wait for them to come to you, that you can go to them and pursue them and ask them to coffee or lunch or breakfast or whatever. That's amazing. Okay, Gabe Fleur, how about you? A godly influence on your life?
Well, I echo what David said. That's just such a beautiful story, David. And I mean, there's so many names that came to my mind, Josh, when you sent this out. I was thinking of Richard Phillips, my dear friend in Greenville, Bob Jones, at First Pros in Greenville, Brian Haybig, Ligon Duncan, our dear brother Derek Thomas, just to name a few who just absolutely had a massive influence. But as I reflected on it, I guess in the past few years, a guy that's just massively been a role model for me and for my family, really, and has ministered to our family in such a tremendous way is a ruling elder you know well in Jackson, Mississippi, Josh, Bill Moore.
Yes.
And Bill and his wife, Leanne, his wife was a teacher at the day school where our kids attended when we lived there. We got to know their family very well. He's just raised five amazing kids. They're all adult children. And just the way he loved the Lord and loved the Word and could so naturally bring the gospel into any conversation without it being artificial, because that's who he was. And just watching how he ministered to anybody who came across his path at any point and still does has just been humbling for me to watch and inspirational for me in my own discipleship to the Lord. And just the grounding he has in the scriptures and love for the Reformed faith, but also the loving people. And those two can sometimes be mutually exclusive. And what I've seen in his life is a synthesis of those things. Loving people, loving the Lord, and doing it well, and loving a wife and children well, and serving in a church for decades well. I think now that as I approach my birthday here in a little bit, I'm appreciating that kind of faithfulness, that kind of solid discipleship to Jesus more now than I ever have. So he spent a lot of time with him, learned a ton from him, still learn a ton from him, and just exercises massive influence in my life.
I love Bill Moore. Bill Moore, I think you said it perfectly. There doesn't seem to be anything artificial with Bill Moore.
Absolutely. Nothing artificial, nothing bogus. What you see is what you get, but I don't know, or I know very few people like him who can communicate and connect with a variety of people from different backgrounds, races, ages, doesn't matter. It really is the gifting of the Lord. And I think he'd be the first one to tell you that and be so embarrassed about everything we both just said, Josh.
That's exactly right. And one of the funniest human beings you will ever meet.
You know, I was going to close with that. He is the funniest human being I think I've ever met. I was on a Zoom call with him and some friends the other night, and he said something that one of his lifetime friends, we talked the next day and said, in almost 50 years of knowing Bill, I've never heard him say anything funnier, and I don't think I've laughed harder or longer. So a lot of those moments.
Yes, yes, Bill Moore. And I think, you know, just in the same way with David about the pursuit of someone, I think with Bill, like you said, just being able to authentically be who you are. Sometimes we get the stereotype of what it means to be a Christian leader, right, rather than allowing the gifting that the Lord has given us to have an expression that is Bible infused and therefore to use that to go out. And Bill is such a good example of that. And people sing his songs, RUF songs, all the time and don't recognize that they're singing Bill Moore songs. I mean, he has really had...
Yeah, that's I'm sorry to jump in there, Josh. Yes, actually the most downloaded RUF song is the tune Bill Moore wrote for probably my favorite hymn, which is Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. And I would just urge our listeners to listen to his version of that. The older tune is much more difficult to sing. We've actually sung Bill Moore's tune a number of times here at First Pres, and it's just a tremendous musical accomplishment, really, to have it that singable with such great theology.
He would be embarrassed to hear all the things we've said about him, but it is completely true. And if you ever have a chance to get to know Bill Moore, the human being, he's awesome. And I vote. So, all right. Brian Bolt, how about you, brother?
Great question, Josh. Thank you. Like Gabe said, about half a dozen names came to my mind as soon as I read this question. And it struck me how unbelievably blessed I am to be able to say that. to have guys who have lived out a Christian walk in front of me. But I settled on my dad. He's a Baptist minister now, but really that's his second career. He was a Christian school administrator for about 30 years. He was my headmaster, my basketball coach, my math teacher, my guidance counselor. I got away with nothing, and that is a very good thing. And I say he's my role model. It's definitely not because he's perfect. He's a sinner like all of us. But what's impressed me over the years, over my lifetime, is seeing how he just has a heart for the Lord. He made sure that my brother and I were in church every time the doors were open. And that really instilled into me the importance of church. And we also got to see that that wasn't just a Sunday thing with him. He prayed with us every morning before school, for example, before basketball games. He would pray with us before meals. He discipled us with devotions and Bible stories when we were very, very young. Some of my first memories are my brother and I just listening to our dad talk about the Bible and his love for it. And this was probably what impacted me the most. I never saw him get into bed at night, regardless of how tired he was. And sometimes he was just absolutely spent, that he would always kneel down to pray by his bedside first. Mm. And that is an indelible image from my childhood, watching my dad pray before bedtime. And he's a man who is bold in his convictions and his actions. He is not afraid to take charge, even if that makes people angry sometimes. Somebody once accused my dad of trying to be a quote-unquote little Jesus. Huh. And as we reflected on that later, I thought, wow, what a compliment. You know,
right.
What better thing to be accused of being?
Isn't that what Christian means, is little Jesus, little Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. To be called that, that's just wonderful. But he's a humble man who knows his dependence upon the Lord. And he's also a servant. And he took such good care of my mother, particularly during her battle with cancer, the last 5 or 6 years of her life. And I just got to see a servant side of him that will always be with me. So my dad is my biggest hero.
That's amazing. And such a blessing when our family members are the ones that can display godliness for us from the time we can remember, our earliest memories all the way through up and into end of life issues. A number of us don't have that particular setting, but all of us have the opportunity to be that person in our own families and to see the sort of impact that can have for all of us. And it's both exciting and terrifying, I think, at times, to think about how we can have that sort of impact as family men, and should put us, like your father, on our knees regularly, right, asking the Lord for help.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess I'll answer, since it's not my question but an emailer's question, I guess I'll go ahead and answer as well. So I was thinking about this, and much like you, Gabe, many people kind of came through my thought process. Ligon, you know, was our senior minister for nearly a decade, my family and I. He baptized 4 of our 5 children, and I got to be on Ligon's staff for 3 years, and he has had an indelible mark on me, on ministry, how I think about ministry, the church, the broader kingdom, and all of that. And there have been men. Another man, of course, that you know well, Gabe, Walt Wofford, came to mind. Walt Wofford is, I believe he's an elder now at First Jackson.
He is still a deacon.
He's still a deacon. He's going to be an elder.
And one of the best.
One of the best. An incredible man who was my prayer partner and my first kind of peer level interaction where we met regularly. And he was an incredibly godly example for me. And I really leaned and learned a lot from him, more than he probably even realizes. But the biggest influence, and I hate to be a homer here, but it's true, is our own senior minister, Derek Thomas. I'd only been reformed for about 4 or 5 years when I met Derek, was still kind of feeling my way through what all that meant. We were in one church for a couple of years, then moved for school and was in another church for a year or two, and then kind of met Derek and got to be his TA, and then as a part of being a TA for Derek, once a week got meetings with him. And through those meetings, you know, Derek, much like Bill Moore, there was nothing not authentic about who he was. We would laugh a lot. We would both make fun of me and laugh a lot, which was great. And I would come to him with all kinds of questions. He was obviously teaching me ST, but counseling questions and biblical theological questions and just personal questions about how to be a good husband. I also had we had our first child at the time that I was TA, so just being a good father and fears about being a good father. And he just walked me through all of those. I mean, hundreds of hours, really, of just personal spending time with me. And sometimes I would be in tears, afraid, and he would comfort me. And sometimes I would be, you know, distracted, and he would get me back on point and focus me. And so, and now, of course, being here, Derek has continued to mentor me. He's continued to show me what it looks like to be a good, godly senior minister in a church like this, what it means to be able to love the entire congregation well, to work with elders well, to work with committees well, to lead and yet not try to be the independent person out there on your own, and at the same time, being able to be sacrificial and provide guidance. So I really appreciate Derek. Derek has been probably the largest godly influence on me. And I tried to think of someone else because I know that he would not like the fact that that's the answer, and he probably would not like that on the podcast. He'll be a little embarrassed by it. But there's no one who holds a candle to what Derek has done for me and for my life. So it's got to be Derek Thomas. Gabe, would you mind closing us in prayer?
I would love to close us in prayer. Let's pray together. And before we do, Josh, thanks so much for that that heartfelt testimony there, brother. I share all of those and echo all of those sentiments.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for godly men and women in our lives, Lord, who have meant so much to us, who fulfill that apostolic instruction to fear our leaders and to imitate their example. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. And we pray that as pastors, we would be men whose faith is worthy of imitation, only by the power of the Holy Spirit and in union with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all the men on this call and for First Presbyterian Church. And please raise up among us many who will disciple the nations and be examples to be imitated. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
See you next week. And hopefully Derek will be back with us.
Excellent.
Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks, all.